Dream, tell us first, who was Shelley and how did she get caught up with the police?
Shelley was a teenager from Detroit. She was loved by her family, loved by her community. She was at a motel in Madison Heights where a lot of her friends, some of whom are trans, would often go for shelter and sometimes bring dates there. I'm a sex expert. She was smoking a marijuana blunt on the balcony, and someone called the police on her. And when the police arrived, they quickly coerced her into being an informant. Basically, they wanted her to set up her drug dealer to bring more marijuana than she could have ever afforded and other hard drugs that she'd never asked for before. They didn't ask her. They told her that she could do those things or spend the night in a men's jail. And when he arrived, they quickly let he and the person that they were arresting know that it was Shelley who had given them up. And in that way, they gave her up. And when we talked to the chief of police in Detroit, Ralph Godby, who it was his police officers who basically discovered Shelley's remains around the city, he told me that he's had confidential informants for years, and he never knew their names. He'd given them hundreds of thousands of dollars and had never known their names because it's just not done. So that's why Shelley's mom, her actual murders are definitely doing time, but that's why Shelley's mom and family sued Madison Heights Police Department, and that they had a settlement earlier last month.
And Dream, how did you hear about Treasure's story, and what made you realize you really wanted to tell this with this film?
Well, Treasure was in a community. I mean, she was a teenager who did a lot of different things, but one of the things that she got was kind of training from some of these safe spaces like Ruth Ellis, like Affirmation in the city, and to learn training about trans justice. Imani runs an amazing trans ally piece. My daughter was a part of a collective called Detroit Future Youth, and she was a part of Grace Lee Boggs' Detroit Summer, and the Ruth Ellis Center Youth were also a part of that collective. So when the story of her being missing began floating on Facebook, it was very much in my community.
Imani, you work at the Ruth Ellis Center with these young people, and you were very much inspired by Shelley. How did Shelley and her story help you really understand your own sexual identity?
When I first found out about what happened to Shelley, it was probably, I think I was maybe 17 at the time, and I didn't know anything about Ruth Ellis Center. I really didn't know. I didn't know anything about trans justice. I didn't know anything about other LGBTQ or youth that existed. I didn't know about any other trans people that existed. I was kind of like, I was by myself. And so, and it just horrified me. I'm like, that was horrible because I saw myself, because I identified the same way Shelley did. I identified as a trans woman.
So you were very inspired. Did Shelley's story bring you to the Ruth Ellis Center then?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, shortly after I heard about that, I started attending the Ruth Ellis Center in the early part of 2012. And I got involved with programming, and I had talked with people about what happened to her and like how that impacted me.
Dream, in your film, you interviewed Sarah Stillman of The New Yorker, who wrote a piece in September 2012 called The Throwaways, about how the police use young offenders as confidential informants. And Shelley was actually in that piece, and she writes that the work is high risk, largely unregulated, and sometimes fatal. I want us now to kind of get a sense of the emotional toll. We want to listen to a clip now from Treasure, Tragedy to Trans Justice, Mapping a Detroit Story. This is Lanice Nelson, Shelley Hilliard's mother.
I got a call early in the morning from one of her friends, and they were like, Mom, you need to call the cab driver. He said something might be wrong. So I gave him a call. He told me that he had dropped her off at a particular address, and she had called him when he had rolled off. She called him and told him, you know, to stay on the phone with her, and, you know, she didn't feel comfortable. And then before he got to the corner, he said he had heard her saying, no, no, what are you doing? You know, stop. And then the phone went dead, and when I got the call saying I need to talk to the cab driver, you know, they said it's all on Facebook. And I'm like, what's on Facebook? And it was like heart-wrenching. And I didn't understand what was going on. And I'm like, hey, whoa, you know, please stop posting this because I don't know what's going on. You know, let me find out what's really going on. So we go in, we do the missing persons report and everything. And that's how I found out my baby was dead on Facebook.
That was a clip from the film Treasure, From Tragedy to Trans Justice, Mapping a Detroit Story, directed by my guest, Dream Hampton. So you tell us, Dream, her killers were caught, they were brought to justice, and her mother's complaint against the city of Madison Heights and its two officers, there was a settlement made. But from that, how did Treasure's murder activate Detroit's young trans community?
So in the film, we have a lot of people on the gender identity spectrum. We have gender nonconforming people who we interviewed in Detroit, trans men and women. And Karimu, who I interviewed, who IDs as a trans man, kind of really put it best. He talked about not being sure if he wanted to be an activist, that once he'd settled into his identity as a man, that he could have just remained there and live that authentic identity and not out himself as a trans man by being a trans activist. But that Shelley's murder made him realize all of the ways that it was absolutely necessary to do this work. I look at this film as sitting at the center and kind of overlapping intersections of Jim Crow drug laws. I mean, I don't think that one should be threatened for even a night in jail for smoking however many grams of marijuana is in a blunt. Police need training around gender self-determination if there is going to be an arrest. In this sense, I believe that they knew that, and I believe it was quite malicious to threaten a teenage girl with a night in a men's prison. So that's part of the work that needs to be done. I mean, at every level, trans people are met with all kinds of abuse in our communities. And it's people like, you know, like Imani, who do this hard work in the community about, you know, getting people to understand how oppressive this hatred is.
And Imani, on the ground level, as you were there day in and day out at the Ruth Ellis Center, how did what happened to Treasure, to Shelley, bring people together or activate them, really fire them up?
You know, I can honestly say that there's a lot more visibility around safety and protection for trans women, and a lot of gay men are stepping up in the Detroit community to address the importance of respecting gender identity.
Dream, what do you hope might come from your film telling this story?
This is one story in so many stories that are being told, and all of this work that we're seeing, you know, Caitlyn Jenner got all of the shine recently, but this work began by Black trans women and trans women of color, whether you're talking about Sylvia Rivera, you know, at Stonewall, or you're talking about Janet Mock and Laverne Cox on the cover of Time and Janet with her own show on MSNBC. This work was led by Black trans women. This is just one more offering into that long tradition. Me in solidarity, but also just trying to uplift the story of the wonderful work that's being done in Detroit.
Treasure, From Tragedy to Trans Justice, Mapping a Detroit Story, will be screened at the Detroit Film Theater tomorrow night. That's Thursday, June the 18th, at the Detroit Film Theater at the DIA. Dream Hampton is the director, and Imani Love is with the Ruth Ellis Center. Thank you so much to both of you for speaking with us today on Stateside.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.